the University of Alabama School of Law, online. Choose between an LLM in tax or business transactions for lawyers, or a Juris Master in taxation for non-lawyers. Connect and learn with live lectures. Details at bamabydistance.ua.edu.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, YouTube comes under fire and considers major changes to its kid content. The details after these tech headlines. Facebook's chief operating officer, Sheryl Sandberg, says the company failed to anticipate foreign interference aimed at disrupting the 2016 presidential election. Speaking on stage at a question and answer session at the Lion International Festival of Creativity, she said the company was prepared to thwart hackers in advance of 2016, but wasn't ready to combat the spread of misinformation from Russia and elsewhere. During a 45-minute conversation, Ms. Sandberg addressed topics including data privacy, growing calls for regulation of big tech, and Facebook's current approach to mergers and acquisitions. The Journal's Benjamin Mullen covers more at WSJ.com. The future of housing rises in Phoenix. Armed with loads of cash and the latest in machine learning, investors are reshaping the $26 trillion market for U.S. residential real estate. They're starting in Phoenix, what the Journal's Ryan Dezember notes as the petri dish for America's housing experiments. Companies such as Opendoor and Zillow aim to bring Wall Street-style efficiencies and Silicon Valley software to the housing business. Big investors now own more than 22,000 rental houses in Metro Phoenix and deploy house-hunting algorithms sophisticated enough to spot a sunny kitchen in a good school district faster than a for sale sign can be pounded into a yard. The Phoenix Association of Realtors said that the emergence of computer-driven house flippers is just the latest challenge that agents face in the area, as they're losing listings from sellers who are willing to take a lower price for their house than they might get on the market in exchange for an easier digital operation. Taking a bite out of the world's largest advertising budgets, Quibi. The short-form streaming service led by former Hewlett-Packard chief exec Meg Whitman has booked $100 million in advertising revenue months ahead of Quibi's launch. Quibi, short for Quick Bites, is due to launch in the first half of next year with shows and films broken up into increments shorter than 10 minutes, meant to be watched primarily on smartphones. The company, which was founded by longtime Hollywood exec Jeffrey Katzenberg, says the programming slate will include productions from A-list directors such as Steven Spielberg and Guillermo del Toro. The full programming slate hasn't been announced, but the service will also include daily news programming. Coming up, to better protect young viewers from objectionable videos, YouTube debates moving all children's content into the standalone YouTube Kids app. The details after this.
The University of Alabama School of Law, online. Choose between an LLM in tax or business transactions for lawyers or a Juris Master in taxation for non-lawyers. Connect and learn with live lectures. Details at bamabydistance.ua.edu.
In what would be a seismic and risky gear switch, execs at YouTube are debating moving all children's content into a separate product, the standalone YouTube Kids app. The aim is stated as to better protect young viewers from objectionable content, as children's videos are among the most popular on the platform. Rob Copeland had the scoop. The Wall Street Journal's Kim Gittleson has more.
The big question here is, what have sources told you YouTube is thinking of doing when it comes to children's content?
Well, YouTube is in one of its biggest crises in years. It really can't stop lurching from one scandal to another. And the most recent problem has been the dangerous content that it's surfing to children, particularly those under the age of 13. So to get around that, executives inside YouTube are debating moving huge amounts of children's content to a separate app, the YouTube Kids app, which they hope will inoculate them from criticism that children start on, say, a cartoon and are then automatically shifted into, say, more risque content.
And now, why might this be something that YouTube doesn't want to do? You write in your article, for instance, that children's programming is quite lucrative for the company.
Well, no website, no application, no one in Silicon Valley wants people to spend less time using their product. And YouTube has been fantastically successful. Users watch more than 1 billion hours of content a day. So anything that disrupts that relationship between YouTube and the user, in this case, even a child, is really dangerous for advertising.
Can you talk to me a little bit more about some of the problems that people have highlighted when it comes to children's content on YouTube as it currently stands? What are some of the issues that you might encounter if, say, your five-year-old ends up on YouTube, a very technologically savvy five-year-old ends up on YouTube and starts watching?
Sure. So one of the secret sauces of YouTube that really isn't so secret at all is that you start watching one video and it automatically keeps playing others. You don't have to select the next video. So a huge problem for YouTube has been that children start watching, say, a cartoon that their parents selected, and their parents walk out of the room and the kids just keep watching. And eventually, at best, you wind up with a movie trailer that you didn't want your four-year-old to see. And at worst, you can wind up with them seeing profanity or something with violence.
And now, what has Google, YouTube's parent company, said about all of this? Have they confirmed these plans?
So YouTube gave us a statement saying that they are always considering changes to the platform and that sometimes those changes happen, sometimes they don't. My understanding, based on my reporting, is that these are fairly advanced discussions inside the firm and that they now involve the parent company's CEO, Sundar Pichai, who is not known for taking a day-to-day interest usually in YouTube.
And you write in your article that this is something that's kind of being spurred on by YouTube's own employees. Is that correct?
Yes, there's definitely a schism opening up inside YouTube. There's a faction inside who believes that the company and Google at large haven't been fast enough to react to some of the inflammatory content on the platform. In particular, over the past few weeks, a group of LGBT employees has been really pressing for the company to enforce its existing policies and to create new ones against commentators who say derogatory things about LGBT people.
And you also write that this isn't the first move that YouTube's made in recent months to try and adjust the rules around videos and how they're promoted. And there's a new mantra within the company. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
The new mantra inside the company is it's not about free speech, it's about free reach. That means that Google and YouTube aren't so much concerned about abridging the content creator's right to create new videos so much as burying them away from the majority of viewers. They don't really actually want to watch every video. There's billions on the platform and decide whether you've said something wrong. What they do want to do is make sure that if you're a nobody or if you're someone who can't be trusted, that it's very hard to find your video on YouTube.
I guess my last question is, will this work? Would putting all of the children's content in a separate app solve the problem?
If the history of Silicon Valley has taught us anything, it's that every solution comes with new problems. They've been fighting this for decades, and you'd have to be a skeptic.
Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you so much.
That's it for the Tech News Briefing. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.